This episode of Well Met was brought to you by listeners like you over on patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. As a thank you, all patrons who are pledging $5 a month or more as of June 30th, 2019, will be eligible to receive the new Well Met Adventurer sticker. In addition, all patrons in the month of June will be entered into a raffle where the winner will receive a free hour of coaching from the co-host of your choice. Thank you for helping support the show.
You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 202 of Well Met, a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. Today is Monday, June 10th of 2019, and here in Kansas City, I am your host, J.R. Cook, and I am joined by our full crew today, but I'm going to, instead of introducing them both together, I'm going to start off with the guy who started in New Hampshire first, I believe, probably not. I'm making this up. I have no idea how old you two are to each other. Danny, how's it going?
Good, but Ray was definitely here in New Hampshire first.
Okay. And I got gypped. You're talking about age. It's literally my birthday. I thought that was like my that was my shoe-in horn. I thought that was a shoe-in into like a happy birthday or something.
Hey, good. That's age coming. Before beauty. Age before beauty.
Ray, you're spoiling things.
Okay, my bad. I'm sorry. All right, continue with Danny's intro.
Yeah. So how's it going?
Pretend that didn't happen.
Good, man. Just got back from my cousin's wedding. Was in Illinois for the weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I got to go do some travel, have some fun, play some games against my younger brother. A lot of fun.
Nice. And our other guest who decided to get all uppity with me just now. But that's okay because it's his birthday and it's our birthday boy, Ray C. Happy birthday, Ray.
Thank you. Thank you.
I appreciate it. What was that?
I don't know. That I know what that is. That's the MLG air horn, baby.
Yeah. So what'd you do for your birthday, Ray?
I did nothing.
Yeah.
That's a pretty exciting birthday.
That's the best birthday.
Yeah. The one where you just veg out.
Yeah.
What did I even do today? I woke up. Oh no, I was at the hospital all day. That's what I don't remember today.
Oh, this is a terrible birthday.
Yeah, no, it was pretty bad, actually. I completely, like, blocked it out of my brain. I was like, why? Like, I remember leaving the house, because I went to Boston today to go to the hospital, so I must have just blocked that out of my brain. Like, I do that a lot, where I'm just like, man, what did I even do this morning? Like, I don't even remember it. It was just so boring that I just tried to forget it.
That's a boring birthday.
At the end of the day, it's, like, all for the cause of being able to comfortably travel to Vegas, so it's got to check all your bases.
I leave Wednesday.
I leave 2 days, so it's more of a. I mean, it was something that was scheduled anyways, but on top of just like seeing them, it's also kind of reassurance. Like they just tell you, yeah, you're good to go. Like you're
a thumbs up
than you were last week when I was actually really sick. So, like you are good enough to go.
Yeah, I think
kind of thing.
I think I saw on one of your social media accounts that you had posted a picture for your birthday. Of how you were starting your day with your good old Dunkin' Donuts coffee, iced coffee, or it is that you always have with you. That's like attached to your hand, like it's your superpower.
It is that's a great super. I think we've had this discussion.
We
actually
did. Not on the show. But we've had this discussion.
Was it on the show or no?
No, it was not.
It was just like one of the many random discussions we have about how, like, if we could have a superpower, having the superpower of being able to just always have a Dunkin' Donuts iced coffee would be a pretty lit superpower.
No, that would be a good superpower.
That's your superpower, and I think it's an awful superpower.
No, it's great.
But did you see the shoes, though?
The shoes were pretty sweet. Yeah, the shoes are nice.
Yo, the shoes are fire.
Yeah, the good old Dunkin' Donuts shoes.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah,
that's
Man, we need that Dunkin' Donuts sponsorship. You with always like having the superpower of always having an iced Dunkin' Donuts coffee in your hand, and then Danny Donuts. I mean, come on. We've got to have a Dunkin' Donuts sponsorship.
All right. Once I win Vegas, like where I was, I've already been working on it. The owner, one of the three owners of my team actually did do a sponsorship with Dunkin' Donuts. His name is Alpharad, and it's kind of like a trial run. So
if we don't get a sponsorship, it's his fault.
Yeah, that's how I view it in my head. Yeah. Blame him for everything that goes, like, if it doesn't happen, it's like he ruined my chances at happiness. It's no big deal though. No pressure. Yeah. Just my happiness. It's not important. Not a big deal.
Just think of the amazing stickers that we could create with a Dunkin' Donuts sponsorship.
It'd be pretty great stickers. Especially the donuts. Stickers.
Yeah.
That's, I mean.
Oh, man. My avatar would be in heaven.
That's actually true.
Yeah.
But
speaking of stickers, if you heard at the beginning of the show, right when it started, we're doing a special offer this month on Patreon. So head over to patreon.com/WellMetPodcast. I got the stickers in today, and I showed them on Twitter, and they are awesome. The Well Met Podcast stickers. If you want one, $5 or more on a pledge, and June's the only time you can get them.
You can put them anywhere. You can put them on your car. You can put them on your face. You can put them on your stomach. You can put them on your head.
You can put on your donut.
Your laptop. You can put them on your donut before you eat it to feel closer to Danny. I don't know. The possibilities are honestly endless. It's very exciting.
And for those that haven't looked at Twitter or don't have a Twitter account or don't like going to Twitter, let me just describe this scene for you. Imagine the League of Explorers, where you've got Reno Jackson, you've got Bran Bronzebeard and Sir Murgleton and all of those characters around, like the golden monkey, right? Getting ready to grab the golden monkey at the temple. Except now it's cartoon versions of myself as Reno Jackson. And we've got Danny as Bran Bronzebeard eating a donut, and we've got Ray over in as Sir Murgleton with a panda hat on instead. And we're grabbing, instead of the golden monkey, it's a golden Hearthstone pack, and it's pretty awesome. I love the design. I really love it.
I am a big fan, especially after that last minute change that you made, where you added the instead of like a white background, it's like the thematic background. You know what I'm talking about.
It's
lit. You guys have to see it.
Yeah.
If you don't see it, at least get it, so then you can see it in real life.
Yeah. Just head over to patreon.com/WellMetPodcast. I have pictures of it there too. Or go to our Twitter. You'll see it there. So that's how you can get that. As for me this week, I just played. I played a lot of Hearthstone, actually. Mostly single player stuff. We'll talk about that here pretty soon. Planted a garden this weekend.
Ooh,
that was fun.
Any? Was it like vegetables or was it like flowers?
Vegetables.
Or?
Vegetables.
Oh, cool.
Got some green beans. Some spinach. Some watermelon. So went and did that.
That sounds very adult.
It is.
Very adult. I was just thinking that. I'm like, that's something my dad would do.
Yeah. No. It's the first time I've done it, so I was like, we have a big backyard, get some stuff to plant a garden, so we did, and so that's how I spent my weekend.
So are you growing burritos, or like, what are you growing?
Yes, I am growing, that's exactly what I'm doing, right?
He planted a couple of burrito seeds.
Yep.
They'll grow into full burrito trees.
Yep, that's exactly what I'm doing. I also planted next to it some taco trees, so I got some burritos trees? And tacos. Yeah.
Nice. I'm coming to your house for Cinco de Mayo next year.
That sounds great. Just make sure that you bring the margarita trees with you.
Those don't exist. What are you stupid?
Yeah, what are you talking about? A margarita tree?
Margarita tree. Stupid Jake, come on. That's ridiculous.
Next you're going to be telling me money grows on trees.
I mean, it does.
This JR guy, come on.
Oh, man. Anything else before we head over the news? Nope.
This Week in Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
So before we begin the news, I just wanted to thank real quick the legend of the show, Taco MZ. As I said, patreon.com/WellMetPodcast. We also have two new patrons this week, Albert and Quetzalcoatl. I believe I said that right. I have no idea, but thank you for joining Patreon this week. But as I was talking about earlier, I was playing the single player content. Dalaran Heist Final Wing opened up this last week, and I decided to play through that. Did normal in one shot, no problem. Heroic took me a few different tries, but I'm going to give you guys a quick and easy way to beat it, as there is kind of a, it's not really a cheat, but it makes it so much easier. There's one of the decks was unlocked with this wing was the Paladin deck. And the very first Paladin deck that you can choose has the Sound of Bells, which is two mana, gives a minion +1/+2, and it has Echo. And there's two things that you can do. One of them is, if you have all the wings, which you should by now, you can potentially get an Anomaly, which reduces all your spells by 2 mana, which makes Sound of Bells free.
Nice, infinite damage.
Infinite damage, right? Because there's no time limit unless you're playing against the one opponent that actually has a timer associated with it. There's no timer.
Don't spoil that, right? Because I haven't gotten there yet.
All right. The other way is, both of them are basically done the same way. But they're in the, when you get to the bartender, sometimes the bartender gives you an option to, choose from your spells, from 4 spells, and you get a reduced 1/3 mana. And a lot of times these decks don't have a ton of spells in them. So the likelihood of you getting Sound of Bells in that selection is pretty high. So you can reduce it to 0 mana, and then it's got infinite Echo as well. That's how I beat it.
There's another spell. I've seen this on Trolden because I was watching YouTube videos a flight back. And there's another spell that you can get as one of the treasures that is transform all your minions into legendaries, and it has Echo as well. Yep. So that one costs 2. I think you do the same thing. And because legendaries have like you have Leroy, you have Alakir, and you have like the pirate dude, you can go through and just continuously make charge minions.
Oh,
but you gotta watch out. You gotta watch out because you can also get the darkness. So that'll take away one of the minions. So you just gotta go through and just go all in on that.
Yeah. No, that's I didn't know about that. That's pretty cool. Yeah. I haven't tried that yet. The other thing that's very beneficial to beat these is to get the robes of, I don't remember what it's called now, but they're basically the robes of make everything in your deck cost 1/2 the mana that it does. But you can only play up to 2 cards per turn.
So don't try to do both of these combos at once.
Yeah, don't try to do both of these combos at once. I made that mistake.
Did you make that mistake?
But the idea is you basically draft like big minions then. And so you're dropping like Sylvanas on like turn 3 or Ragnaros on turn 4, and just these big huge minions, and you just make your deck full of them, and basically by doing that you just completely outvalue your opponent that way. And it doesn't work all the time because sometimes they can get overwhelming and you don't have like any good removal at that point, but it's on normal, it definitely works. On heroic, it's a little bit tougher to go that route. So that's my tips for Dalaran Heist. I know Ray's like writing this all down on how he's going to beat it now.
No, I'm definitely not doing that.
You're just thinking about the burrito trees. I get it.
I am. I'm very excited to see how those grow. I hope that you post your progress on Twitter.
I will.
Thank you.
Trees. But moving on, Danny, you wanted to talk a little bit about how Wild's going right now.
Yeah, so I'm going to open this up with a bit of an analogy. So I said earlier I was playing games with my brother, who's he's in middle school right now. So he's learning chess, like not auto chess, like the actual one with like pieces and stuff. So I was playing against him this weekend, and I'm not sure if you guys know enough about a lot about chess, but some of the openings have different names, and there's one opening that's notoriously the worst opening possible. It is called the Bong Cloud. It's where you attack with your king after the first move, and you go through, and it's called the Bong Cloud because you have to be on drugs in order to think it's a good move, essentially. So I played that against my brother just to give him a little bit of an edge, but well, I was away this weekend for travel, and when I came back, it felt like the wild meta was just playing the Bong Cloud. It was absurd. This new deck that popped up overnight, it's playing Snip Snap. It's playing Summoning Portal in Warlock. It's one of the dumbest decks I've ever seen, and it's gotten into top five Legend like 10 times. It is Togwaggle Warlock. It's just so silly. The thing is that you have the Summoning Portal Snip Snap OTK combo with Mech Warper. So it's a three-card combo, Summoning Portal, Mech Warper, and then you can go off with Snip Snap if any mech has stayed on board. And then you're just running the good demon package of like the Void Callers, Void Lords, Mal'Ganis, and then you're running the Sense Demon Sack Pack, just like Mechathune. But because you're running Summoning Portal, you run Togwaggle and Azalina, and you're able to go through and do double Summoning Portal into Togwaggle, Azalina, and I mean, this deck seems so dumb off the top of just hearing about the deck, but this deck is good. This deck is very good. It's scary how good this deck is. Like, this may be the next Starliner Druid.
Ugh.
Oh, man. I knew that Snip Snap combo. Like, oh, dude. Like, they killed it in Standard, but in Wild, you guys just have so many ways to still just do it anyways. Yeah. And I, like, that's such a obviously problematic thing.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that really, this really brings to my mind is that cards like Summoning Portal, right, which have been garbage throughout the entirety of the Hearthstone career.
I don't even remember what Summoning Portal does at this point.
Yeah, Summoning Portal is a 4-mana minion that's an 0/4, and your minions cost 2 less, but no more than 1. Oh, so that's right. So essentially it sets your Snip Snap to 1, and then the Mech Warper goes and sets that to 0. So that's how that combo works. But like I think that Wild is starting to turn the corner where, like, cards that have notoriously been bad throughout Hearthstone's history, like, Sense Demons has been horrible for a while, but for about a year, it's been a good card ever since Kobolds and Catacombs came out, because you're able to put in Void Caller and Void Lord. Like, Sack Pact is a good card. It's run just unironically in decks. I feel that if you haven't played against this stuff and played with it, if you were explaining this to me when I was in Standard a year or 2 years ago, I would have laughed at you and called you crazy. But like, I'm experiencing this firsthand. It's just silly.
Oh man, I don't know.
So it's good that this is a combo deck, because we have a ton of ways to disrupt combos in Wild. So that's one of the things that happens. One of the decks that's been popping up because of this is Treachery Warlock, where you run Treachery and then Howl Fiend, the thing that discards all the things from your hand. Seen a ton of that on Ladder as just the counter to this, because if you discard like 4 cards from your opponent's hand, like, they can't do anything.
Is that basically you take a Howl Fiend and then give it to them?
And then you Defile and then you just clear their board. So that is something that has been around. It's like fringe playable, but as soon as a combo deck comes up, that is a, let's call it a refined disruption, like an anti-combo deck. So that one is one of the first ones that always sees play. It's not a good deck, but it's a deck that will beat combo like 90% of the time. So it loses to aggro, it loses to game plans where you don't mind discarding a couple cards, but it's always something that as soon as a combo deck becomes predominantly the main deck in a format, it pops up.
Hmm.
But it's interesting. This is the Wild effect, right? Where now there is a deck. It may or may not be tier one, but the entire meta is going to shift around this card, this deck. It used to be Kingsbane Rogue, and then everything's tech. You're running Galaka Crawlers, all the other things. This deck is now what people are teching around. You're seeing a lot more Dirty Rats, Hecklebots, Death Lords. You're seeing a lot of cards that are specifically trying to go in and disrupt your opponent. And it's really interesting to see how fast that shift happens. Like I said, I was gone a weekend, and this deck did not exist. It didn't exist on Thursday night when I went to bed. And when I checked Twitter coming back from my flight on Sunday, I'm like, why is everyone in an uproar right now?
Because you went away, Danny. That's why.
Yeah.
They missed.
It's an unfortunate thing. Normally what happens is I'm one of the people who find something and I start refining it and pushing it up, but someone else did it first this time and it's looking good. My thing about this is that if you're running summoning portals, I don't think that, like, the Togwaggle and Azalina thing seems like a secondary win condition in case you're not able to get a mech to stick. Because there are ways to, I think it's dumb to run a squirrel at the moment, whatever the squirrel bot is, the 4-4 that has stealth. Because there are way too many, copper tail. I think it's too easy to clear a 4-4 stealth and wild. But what I've been thinking recently, and this is probably what I'm going to be trying to do after the show, is I think just the point of the deck right now is to cycle through your deck to get the combo. And if whatever you get disrupted, then you go with Azalina Togwaggle. And I'm thinking that you're already running a bunch of mechs. Why don't we just run Mechathune and just take the Mechathune shell, take those the Azalina and Togwaggle out, put in Mechathune, Blood Bloom, and Cataclysm. And I think that deck's probably better than this one. So that's what my spin I'm going to put on the deck and see how that does.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you're still just a degenerate OTK combo deck.
Yeah, well, that's the best thing about this. For Wild, a lot of the times, there is a combo. People recognize the combo, but they can't build the shell around the combo to make it good. Whereas, like, Starliner for the longest time didn't recognize that you want to be running, like, Lotheb in the deck just so that once you play the combo and, like, you don't have enough damage, you just seal them out from clearing the board. And, like, I went through and I started refining, adding some of these things in here and there. Giant's Lock wasn't running Doomsayers for a while when you were running Naga Sea Witch. And, like, I think that the refinement of these combo decks is something that the Wild community lacks. That's something that the community's like, oh, great, there's this broken thing, and people just start jamming it. And refinement, it takes a while. And it takes someone to go in, post a deck list, someone will go tweak a couple cards, but it takes a lot longer in Wild for a deck to get refined, as opposed to in Standard, where because everyone else is trying different things out, there's so many people, and there's such a limited card pool that the deck really gets refined rather quickly. I think that process takes a lot longer in Wild.
Right. Yeah, there's probably like 100,000 times more people playing Standard.
Right.
And Wild.
Yeah, that's why I was surprised when you said, like, this deck all of a sudden became a thing over a weekend in Wild. So I that's just something assumed that it would have spread a lot slower.
So that is something that that you do see. You see the meta shift quickly when it's, you can see drastic changes when the decks are completely new. Like, I remember Kriparian played Wild for last year for a couple months, and that's right when Giant's Lock came out. That's when, like, the Naga Sea Witch, he was playing right around that time and when it was discovered, and he was shocked, and he made like two or three videos on how fast the meta shifted. And that's because a lot of the times up at, like, High Legend and, like, even from Rank 5 to Legend, like, everyone has a very versatile collection in Wild. You see that a lot of people go through and they will shift to a predominant strategy if it comes out. Whereas, like, I feel that maybe out of the games that I played today, 60% have been against this deck. Wow. Because everyone's trying it out. Whereas, like, I think that if a deck like this was to pop up in Standard, a much smaller percentage base of the player base would be playing it. I think that a lot of people play it, but just due to our size, it doesn't get anywhere super fast.
I see. Mm. So I guess that makes sense where it will spread a lot quicker because while you have less people playing, it's not as diluted.
Yeah.
So, never thought about that.
And then you also run into that, right, where a deck may seem super powerful because no one's found a counter or people aren't playing the counter, right? Like, I could go in and say, all right, I realize that playing Dirty Rats in my currently good decks are now, like, people aren't teching their decks to this yet. Like, your Odd Paladin matchup's not running something. There are tech cards that you can put into the currently good decks that will beat this. But no one has really sat down and said, okay, I need to tech my deck to beat this specifically.
Right.
Mm.
Interesting.
Yeah. I wonder how much different the development of the Standard meta would be if, like, people just didn't have Twitter or if people just didn't post as much.
Yeah, it would be interesting. I think that a lot of it turns into, like, because people are posting so much, you can get a better grasp on everything. I feel that for the Wild community, like, I have maybe five people that I'll go to and say, all right, here are the people who I know are good at refining decks, and, like, they'll only post good deck lists. Whereas there's a bunch of garbage, you see. But I think that for standard, right, when people start posting deck lists, they're a lot better because there are so many more people, and the ones that get traction are the ones that are actually good. Like, I have to do the curation myself, whereas I think just due to the size of standard, like, that naturally gets done.
I mean, we also have events that kind of tell people, hey, this player is good because they won this thing, right? Like, in Wild, you don't really have that because you only have, like, one tournament every other year sometimes.
Yeah. All right. So the other big news of this week, I just hit, like, a little bit ago, I believe. They hit the gap. Remember last week we talked about this, that they had released the Masters Tour bundle, or the eSports bundle that they called it, where you got 10 packs of the current set, 10 packs of Rumble Jurassic, the Rumble set. I suddenly forgot how to talk, guys. And then you got the new hero and the card back, and it was, what, $20, I believe?
Yeah. I don't know, I just clicked buy. It's all going back in my pocket at the end of the day, let's be honest.
Yeah, so it was like $20 or something like that, a pretty good bundle. And they said that the proceeds of that were going to go towards making the Masters Tour, double the prize pool of the Masters Tour. But they had it capped, right? Mm-hmm. And we were talking about it last week a little bit, about the cap and everything, and maybe how long it would take or things like that. Maybe it was a couple weeks ago, because I think it was episode 200 we were talking about this. They hit the cap today.
Yeah.
Or at least they announced that they hit the cap today. They could have hit the cap earlier.
They could have hit it earlier. I mean, I imagine it would take some amount of time to write that. So maybe they hit it yesterday, but who knows? Either way, it happened this week. So
that's so fast.
We hit the cap probably, what, maybe 7 days at most?
Something like that.
We hit it. It's all good. We're all getting 500 free dollarinos. Yeah. For everybody who competes get $500 minimum. I actually have no idea what I tried to look up the prize breakdown of how it goes from.
I would imagine you just double everything.
I don't know, because, like, there was no prizes for not top 64 before. So
maybe they shaved a little bit off the top, right? And then they put it down at the bottom.
Right. Most of it is going to $500 for everybody, but.
I see.
I'm wondering what actually got shifted at the top. And I have a feeling that they don't actually know yet, because they probably want to make it look nice and even, you know? Like, they want to give $500 to everybody, but then, like, they probably have some awkward numbers they have to allocate somehow.
Yeah.
They're probably still figuring it out, to be honest.
But either way, we've gone from a $250,000 prize pool for each Masters to a $500,000 prize pool, with a guarantee that everybody that participates, it gets at least $500. That's a big deal. That's pretty cool.
That's $500 I can finally waste at the casino, baby. I've never actually gambled. Like, I've played some poker, but I don't really consider that gambling.
Even though it's totally gambling?
Like, yes and no. Like, it is gambling, but, like, it's
gambling. It's like the epitome of gambling, Ray.
Poker, really?
Yes. Like, if I think of gambling, if I think of gambling, I think of poker.
But is it gambling if you know you're going to always end up ahead?
If you go in,
you can consider it entertainment, right? If you say, here is $500, I'm putting this aside specifically to play poker. I do not expect to have any money when I leave, and I will not go and get any more. I will not touch that $501st dollar. Like, that you can, you can technically consider that entertainment, but you have to go in with those limitations set at the front, right? Where it's like, I don't expect to come out with any money. I'm paying $500 to play poker for two or three nights or a night or whatever.
I don't know. Like, to me, poker, like, if you actually know what you're doing, you are going to go above 50%. Like, you're going to most likely make money. Obviously, you can get unlucky and lose, but I mean, most of the time, you're going to end up ahead if you're better than the other players. So,
But I mean, just make sure you're not going and overestimating your abilities, right?
Let's put it this way, Ray. There is a song. I know this is before both of your guys' time. There is a song by Kenny Rogers. I know.
Oh my God, I know.
You never heard of him.
I actually know Kenny Rogers.
The song is about poker, and it's called "The Gambler."
Gotta know when to hold them. Know when to fold them.
Yeah.
Know when to walk away. That's when to run.
That's just like they're okay. You know what? Okay, to me, gambling is like slot machine, like things that are actually random. Like, you can't gain a skill edge. Like, things that you can't just, like, gain percentages in.
That's what gambling is. Gambling is just playing the percentages, Ray.
No, like, when you do a slot machine,
You're still playing their percentages.
But they're not in your favor. In poker, they're
good. They're not.
So the house always has an edge. But think about this, Ray. When you're playing Hearthstone, are you gambling?
No.
No, of course you're not.
Because
there's no money involved.
There's no money involved. If there was money involved,
I would still not consider it gambling.
It would totally be gambling.
I wouldn't consider it gambling because I know I'm always going to end up with more. Like, I'm always going to end up positive at the end of the day.
So it's gambling, but you have the odds. So the difference is gambling is whenever you pay money and there's a chance you don't get the money back. Right. If I go in and I invest in something, like, technically that's a gamble. But if let's say I invest in bonds where that I get a guaranteed return on investment, like, that's not a gamble. But if I go in and I don't know, if I put money on the wheel that you spin and then
the roulette.
Yeah. If I do that, that's clearly gambling. It's a spectrum between those two.
Oh yeah, that's definitely gambling. But if I were to play Hearthstone for money, that's not gambling to me. That's just like, I'm playing a game that I'm favored to make money in, and if I get unlucky, then I lose.
But is it gambling then for someone who's not as skilled at Hearthstone then? For someone
Yes, I think it's gambling for people who are bad.
It's gambling for even if you're good or bad, because you are not guaranteed. If you put up that money, you are not guaranteed at all to make that money back. Now, you might have a skill level that can get you there, but you're not guaranteed that your skill level is going to get you there. You can still absolutely lose your money. But if over time, of course you're going to make more because your skill level is definitely higher to the fact that you're going to make more than what you lose. But don't go into it thinking you're always going to gain every single time.
Well, so the way that my friends explain it to me, it's like, if you know how to play correctly, like, mathematically, you're always going, like, over a certain number of sample size, like, you're always going to end up winning most, like,
correct. But if you look at the one set, right, like, if you're flipping a coin, right, let's say you have a three-sided coin, and if you get side one and two, you win, or side three, you lose, so you have a 66% chance of winning. Technically, that's still gambling because you have a 33% chance of losing. Over time, you're going to make you're going to make double whatever you're putting in the bet if you bet just over time, right? So you're going to make money, but you're still technically gambling on that one outcome, on the specific one outcome. It's the stringing together of multiple outcomes that makes it profitable or not profitable, but that's not associated with the actual gamble itself. The gamble is the single action.
And you also have to think, the people that are actually, like, doing that and making money off of poker would be, like, the very, very top.
Like Daniel Negreanu, the pros, yeah.
Right.
Well, yeah, no, I have a bunch of friends who are actually there for the World Series of Poker. I'm not actually going to play poker with them. I just don't consider that gambling if you are at that level, to me. Like, even though it is technically, like you said, with the coin flip thing, like, if I'm going to bet on, like, what was it, a coin, like,
yeah, the three sided, that was just an example that was like, in your favor, yeah,
right,
the three-sided, like, coin,
like, I don't consider that gambling. I just consider that, like, a good idea. Like, you should always play that as many times as possible with all your money, because that's just smart, because you're guaranteed to come out with money. Like,
I don't know if I agree with that. I really don't. Keep in mind, you are talking to someone whose father had a gambling addiction, and lost hundreds of thousands of dollars to gambling. So I cannot agree with that statement at all.
That's fair. I have no like desire to gamble, to be honest. Like, I just want to do it, just to say I did it. But I don't have like any type of like desire to play slots or anything like
that. Yeah, you're just looking like, for the experience. You're looking for the experience, right?
I just want to do it to say I did it, but at the end of the day, to me, it's just like throwing away money, which is silly. Like, I'm not.
You got to view it as entertainment, right? It's like, how much would I pay for to do this for entertainment? That's what, whenever I go to the casino, that's what I view it as. I'm like, okay, I'm paying this much money for an evening of playing gambling with my friends, and this is the only money that I'm going to put towards it. That's one of the things that is the biggest trap for that. If you go in and then you say, all right, I'll only put like $100 into this, and then you lose your $100, and then you're like, all right, well, I'll go in and then I'll put 50 more bucks in, I'll make it back, and then from there on in, like, I'll be even. And then you're always playing catch-up, and then at that point, that's how you start losing a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. No, I am very lucky to not have that kind of... addictive personality? Is that like
what? Yeah, it's an. I definitely have that type of addictive personality. I need to specifically set myself and say I'm not going anymore. Like, I won't bring my ATM card to the casino because
I have the same issue.
Yeah,
I have like an issue with wanting to like be the like competition wise, like Hearthstone. Like, I really want to try to like be the best and get there and stuff like that. But if it comes to something that's like random, that's like not in my favor, like, I just have no desire. I just don't really, it's not appealing to me. Same thing with like anything. I don't know, even drugs. Like, I will not ever like want to take extras if, like, after I have surgery or anything like that. Like, it's just all of that, everything about that stuff is just unappealing to me.
Yeah. That's very respectable.
So speaking of Vegas and gambling, there seems to be, and not drugs, maybe, I don't know, this is what you guys are going to be talking about, something to do with the grand, there's a kerfluffle, I love that word, kerfluffle, with people on Twitter about grandmasters that aren't going to Vegas. Now, I don't understand what this is about, because I am an old man that doesn't understand social media. So one of you guys explain this to me.
All right, I'll explain this. So basically, there are a number of Grandmaster players who aren't going to Vegas. There's probably more than two, but I only know of two of them personally. I only know Pathra and Frosty. And I know there are others. I just don't know their names off the top of my head, because I think they're Apex players. And
is Pavel one of them?
Oh, and Pavel, yeah. Pavel is also not going, and a lot of people find that them not going is very disrespectful to the Grandmaster's system, and that it's just like a slap in the face to the grinders. I guess this is not what I think. This is just the point of view of people who are the ones complaining.
Okay. From
what I'm reading, they are effectively having the attitude that you guys got this invite for free. We had to work for it, and now you're also wasting it on top of it. And like, we would do anything to get in Grandmasters, and you guys just don't even care about it. That's how they see it. Is it's just like a slap in the face to them, and they're like, "How could you do that to the system?" Blah blah blah.
They're not required to go, right?
They're not required to go. No, Blizzard is not paying for them to go out there.
Blizzard's not. Yep.
If they do go, they are required to go to like whatever, like
the event,
the meet and greet.
Like the meet and greets that they're doing, the pool party,
the pool party where they all take off their shirts and
yes,
hang out with everybody. I guess
that's
his dog center stage.
For real, there was some beef, some drama. I know Navi was just like, he basically said, "Yeah, I'm super bitter to miss out on Grandmasters. It's really frustrating. I understand it's not your fault that you're in Grandmasters, but it can be really difficult sometimes to remember that." And this is a big slap in the face to anyone grinding the circuit the past 4 years. So basically what he's saying is slap in the face that you guys aren't going because we've been grinding and we deserve it more than you and whatever. Even though
that's not true,
that's not
because
what I think.
A lot of these people that are in Grandmaster, every single one of them has been a grinder at some point, right? Grinding to get to where they're at now, right?
Yeah, whether it's through streaming or actually competing in HCT at some point.
They have done something to be at the top.
They do deserve it. And I think it's just a case of people being really salty. And there is also, like, people are commenting on, like, Pathra is 08 and Grandmasters. Or I think she's 08. And people are just super triggered by that. And then there's the whole, because she's a girl, like, you just got invited because you're a girl and you're 08 and you're just, like, taking advantage and blah, blah, blah. Like, so all this salty bullshit.
So that was the thing that I got upset about seeing, because there are so many reasons why all of this is happening. And that being the reason that people were just complaining about it really, really just bothered me, because I mean, there's so many other things that are the factors involved with this. And I mean, while I don't know, that's just a dumb thing to complain about.
Yeah. And this, so I didn't understand, like, I'm not very familiar with the pros names. Right. And that was one of the names that I didn't really know that well. But the fact that she is, I didn't realize it. That was the female of the group, basically. And to me, that's just like, I just don't understand people that are upset about that at all. Like, it's one of those things where, first of all, it's the player's choice on if they want to go or not. The fact that someone is 0-8 doesn't matter either. It just means that they're not winning their games. Maybe they'll turn it around. Who knows? But to say that that person does not deserve it because they're a girl pisses me off.
And that's stupid.
Oh my God. Like, come on.
I think that they're, like, I actually think that if I were in somebody like Pathra of Frosty's shoes, I would not go either. Like, if you look at it,
I would,
from their perspective, yeah. They're from APAC, right? So it's probably $2,000 to go.
It's a lot of money, yep.
You're not guaranteed. Well, okay, when they announced the $500 stay, but that's kind of irrelevant. But you weren't guaranteed any money at the time. Like, you'd have already had to plan the trips, right? Like, this announcement of $500 isn't going to make or break your $2,000 trip. And I don't think people understand that the people who are playing in Grandmasters, so I saw this a lot on Twitter, is they're like, yeah, well, you have all this Grandmasters money. Like, you can obviously go. Blizzard is effectively paying you by you being in Grandmasters. And they're not going to see any of that money for a hell of a long time. If you think that they got paid for Grandmasters already, first of all, it's not in the contract that they don't even, like, the payment doesn't even start the payment process until after the season ends. So the payment process isn't even starting until the season ending in, like, a couple months or something.
And then attack on Blizzard. Attack on Blizzard paying out, right?
the process of actually having the payment process is probably, like, another month or two. Like, they're not seeing that money for a good 4 to 6 months. So that argument is stupid, that, like, you should go because Blizzard is effectively paying you, like, you have the money, we know you're winning this money in Grandmasters. That argument's stupid. They don't actually have the money. If you're a broke college kid, you can't just make $2,000+ appear.
And
like,
even if Blizzard paid you money for this Grandmaster thing, that does not mean you have to turn around and spend that money on this. You spend that money however the hell you want.
Yeah, at the end of the day, like, going to Vegas is a toll not only on money, it's also, like, for people who are traveling like that, it's a huge toll on your body and everything. I'm considering, like, if I qualify for Seoul, I am strongly considering just not going, simply because it's a 20+ hour flight, and I know that unless I'm feeling really good, I'll just feel like shit when I get there. Like, I will just not feel great, and if I don't feel great, I'm not going to play well, and it's just going to be a waste of time. Even if I get a free trip and an invite, it is most likely going to be a waste of time if I don't feel good because of traveling. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's also, like, that's a huge factor. Like, why, if they know they're not going to, like, be at their best to play, it's just like, why bother risking wasting the money? It's just not worth it, especially when you have a revenue income that you're also losing. Like, it's a huge opportunity cost to go as well, because you're losing money to go, and then you're also losing money by not working.
Yeah.
Ultimately,
though, I think that a lot of this goes down to Blizzard. When Blizzard has decided, hey, you guys don't need to come here, because they would have paid expense paid trip for these guys if right. they needed if they had done that and then they got out of it, I could see the backlash, right? But if Blizzard themselves does not say, hey, you need to be here, we're gonna pay your way, I feel that all of this is completely justified. So essentially this is Blizzard saying, hey, we're completely fine with the backlash that these guys are going to get if they don't come. So ultimately it's down. You can blame all of this on Blizzard. You can put the blame back in the other direction and say, hey, Blizzard has weighed their outcomes and said, hey, not having these players come is we're fine with the consequences of that. And I guess you just have to live with the Blizzard's decision on that. But ultimately, I think you have to look at it from that perspective where it's like Blizzard's decided we don't need our grandmasters here for our masters. So we're not going to guarantee that they come, but we'll put on a special event for the ones who do decide to show up.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was another argument I saw was like, oh, they're grandmasters, like they are the ambassadors of competitive Hearthstone. Like they need to be here. It's like, no, they don't. Not if Blizzard's not going to pay them for it. Like it's not in their contract. Like
right.
to get into grandmasters, they did have to go to the Grandmaster Summit. Like that was a requirement. You had to go there. You had to sign the papers. No exceptions.
And Blizzard
like,
you had to paid go to for Taiwan. That. And Blizzard paid for that. Right.
If this was another case of like, you have to go to this, it is in your contract if you want to stay in Grandmasters, sure, that's another argument. But that's not the case.
Right.
They're not paying for it. Well, I think it's actually smart to not go because it's just a waste of money most of the time and a huge toll on your body. So
I think that since Blizzard's not paying for it, there is no reason to complain at all that these players aren't going. You have... like no reason whatsoever to tell someone how to spend their money. None. And it doesn't matter how they made that money. I could be making money from my employer and, you know, there's an event coming up or something that my employer wants me to be at. They're going to pay to make sure that I'm there. But I'm not spending my own money to go there and my employer is not going to be upset about that. And if anybody else is upset about that, they can go F themselves because it doesn't matter.
We need John's bleep button.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Hey, we need the bleep button.
That.
There we go.
They can go
for real
themselves. There you go.
For real. Yeah. Like that. That's what it. That's what it comes down
this,
to for me.
It's I
like
think on, this really. Oops, go ahead.
I was gonna say it's on Blizzard. Like the fact that people are harassing the players is just. It's very frustrating to see. And it's even like, I know like high level, like people who are like also pro players who are like legitimately upset. And I think that their reaction of being upset is an emotional response because of the fact that they're probably burnt out from grinding all these opens. And then they see this and they're like, wow, screw these guys. And but they're not actually thinking about it. Like it's just an emotional response.
I agree.
And it sucks that people like Pathra, Frosty and whoever else, Pavel, I guess Pavel probably doesn't give a crap. He's Pavel. He doesn't care. But like they shouldn't have to deal with that. It's very bad to see.
Yeah. But the whole thing that this is even an issue really is an embodiment of social media, right? Someone goes out, makes a post about it. People get upset. People flame about it. Like normally, like you might, I think for the average person, right? If they were to see this news and you weren't going to go on Twitter and do all this stuff, they'll be like, oh, well, it sucks that this person's not going. I should go. But then they'll forget about it in 2 seconds, right? This is one of those moments where it's like someone might have the initial reaction that's not super about it. But like, that's like you said, it's the emotional reaction. When you think about it for a little while, essentially you start to realize what's going on. But I think that the visceral cycle of social media really plays into this. I think that the fact that you can have hundreds of people rallying around this and getting angry together really pushes people forward on this. And that's why we're talking about it today. We wouldn't be talking about this if it wasn't for that.
Yeah, people in our Discord literally said, hey, you guys should talk about this because this is something that is like similar to other things that have come up and we haven't talked about it. And I actually did mention to JR at one point that we should do it. And I think we mentioned maybe getting Cora on at some point and trying to figure something out at some point. But
I would love to do that.
We haven't gotten around to it because we feel like we want the appropriate voices to.
It's one of those things where it's really tough because, to be honest, like, we, the three of us, aren't the ones that really have anything that we can really add. We can support, but we don't go through the day-to-day stuff, right? We're not the ones that experience this. So yeah. It's really important to hear it from a perspective that does and to listen, right?
Yeah.
So that's really the tough part of it all is it would have to be something where we need the right people to be able to have that conversation.
Maybe we should just invite Naviut and Pathra and just have like a Jerry Springer, just like just
player versus player.
There you go.
Player versus player.
I think we got an idea.
That would actually be godlike. That would be so. Oh my gosh. Salty gamer.
No, I don't know. Like, I think it's funny that I started out with this conversation. You guys are like, hey, let's add this to the show notes. I'm like, you guys are going to have to talk about it. I know nothing about this because I just don't pay enough attention to the social media drama anymore. In fact, I don't even go to Reddit anymore because they just irritate me. I just hang out on Twitter, and I've curated my Twitter feed to ignore most of the BS. And it just made my life like so much better. But then I listened to you guys talk about it in this whole segment. And I'm just like, this just pisses me off so much. Why are people like
this? I told
you
that before the show.
I know. You said I was going to have opinions.
To be honest, though, like I also don't deal with the bull. Like I'm not on Reddit. I'm not in those Discord communities and stuff like a lot of people who play are, because it's just too much for me. It's almost like
it's not worth my time.
Yeah.
It's not worth my energy.
It's so irrelevant as well. It's like all of it is so irrelevant. Like, I'm not talking about the situation. I'm talking about like most of like the chit chat drama.
Right. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's all just nonsense. And
you have to realize too is that the people who are having these conversations, right, are the people who live viscerally through the situations. The ones who are obsessed in the Discord and the Reddit and are going on about that, those people are the people who are going to be the most vocal in a lot of this stuff, because this is what it's how much time they dedicate into it, right? If you have one of these communities, you can now immerse yourself into any community to any extent that you want. You can go in and like me, I'll go and I'll check the wild. I mean, I'm the wild Hearthstone Discord. I'm an admin there, so I monitor that one fairly well, but I don't touch the normal one. I might go to competitive Hearthstone for a little bit, but like, you can really immerse yourself in any community to any level that you want. And I think that this is something that we haven't really experienced because we're the first generation that really has done this. But like immersing yourself too deeply into a community really has bad effects, because any small thing that happens within that community is blown out of proportion to you.
Now, this isn't just something that just started happening recently, Danny.
Well, no,
this
but
isn't
I think
just
that
with social media. This is with the internet, like in general.
I think this is more of an internet thing,
right?
But yeah,
because it just feels you guys like aren't the only generation for sure that's dealt with this. I mean,
well, no, I think it's more of the internet generation. But the thing is, like, this isn't something that if you go to, because I was around my grandparents a lot this weekend and stuff like that. There were some concepts that we were talking about were completely foreign to them about like Twitter and all of this stuff. And this is realistically a relatively new thing. Like, there are people who don't know much about the internet and all of this stuff.
Agreed.
Like, just due to their age. And I think that, especially for as we get older, we are going to be learning these things out. We're going to be figuring out, oh, well, this happened 20 years ago in our Hearthstone Discord. This happened at some point, right? Like, we're gonna be able to use this as a anchor and teach people about this as it goes on. We're essentially the trailblazers here. We're the ones figuring out how everything happens as it goes on.
Yeah. I'm just saying this has been going on for like 20 plus years. It was my point. This has been going on for at least as long as Ray has been alive.
Yeah.
We just probably haven't personally noticed it until we got involved in.
Yeah, that's true.
In Hearthstone or in like.
It also happened on internet. It also happened on a smaller scale, because if you think about the internet, like in the late 90s, like it wasn't anywhere near mainstream. We're now talking about this being mainstream,
mm-hmm.
and it has been for 10 plus years now, you know? So
yeah,
I think that's the difference, is because I remember online forums back in the late 90s when I first started using the internet, and it was the same BS. You had chat rooms, you had chat room drama, you had IRC with the same issues. And as a high schooler, I would get heavily involved in it because, you know, I thought it was a big deal and it really wasn't. And then, you know, going into college, it's like you had your internet forums, your gaming forums, you'd have trolls in there. You'd have online games with Ultima Online, EverQuest. You'd have drama that would happen in there. College student thinking it's a big deal. It really, in the grand scheme, wasn't.
You're really out here in the trenches, JR.
Yeah.
And then you realize,
as that is all past, you're just like, well, now we got Twitter. Sure, a little bit of that happened on Facebook, and you're figuring out, okay, a little bit of that's going on. There's a certain point in time after dealing with all that where you're just like, I'm just not going to deal with this anymore. It's just not worth my time. It's not worth my energy. Why did I spend all of this time worrying about this BS that doesn't matter?
I mean, I never started dealing with it. I only the things that the times that I look at situations like this are when it comes up in like personal group chats.
But maybe with, like, but maybe this is why you guys like you guys are like 15 years younger than I am. And maybe this is where you guys grew up with it. You weren't introduced to it as just a teenager. Like, you got to think about it. When I first used the internet, I was like 14 years old. That's when the internet was completely brand new to me. It'd been out for a little bit, but I never, it just been put in our public library. I had to pay $20 an hour just to use it, right?
Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So think about that versus you guys would have grown up with it, not quite at your fingertips because smartphones weren't out yet, but when you hit your teenage years, smartphones were probably just becoming big, right? And that's when that's about the time that social media started hitting.
When we were like 15 or so.
Right. So it would have been about the same time that I just got introduced to the internet. So you guys would have had the smartphone craze, the social media 2.0 or web 2.0 as they called it back in the day. That's when Twitter, Facebook, and social media as we know it today really started to introduce itself to the world.
I think I just had an unconventional growing up. Like, I didn't play games like World of Warcraft or anything. I didn't really play online games. Like, the most I played was I played Halo 3 with my buddies on Xbox Live. Like, I didn't really play anything that would involve me getting into chat. Like, I never used the computer until I started playing games like League of Legends and Hearthstone, which was much later, 18, 19. Mm-hmm. So to me, all of this stuff is actually fairly new. I actually was epileptic my whole childhood as well. So I didn't actually play even video games until early to mid high school when I got cleared. So my experience with gaming, even though I have been in gaming forever, is card games in real life. And that is so different. Maybe not as much now because there are online communities for them now where everybody is, but back then it was just your local communities, and then when you travel to a nationals, then you see everyone else, and that was actually really cool, where you just didn't the metas for different regions could be so drastically different, and you wouldn't know because there just wasn't really a central place that people were posting deck lists and stuff.
Yeah. And what's funny is I don't think age really has anything to do with it either, or even when you were introduced to it. Because it's funny because over time, I just got tired of it to the point where
I think it's more the age of the technology at some point. I was talking more about the age of the technology, not the age of us.
Right. Because think about Facebook. I've had 75-year-old aunts and uncles who I have seen argue on Facebook, and it's the biggest dang thing they need to argue about just stupid stuff as well. So it's not even an age thing. It's more of, it's so weird. It really has to do with when you're behind a keyboard, you feel like you are able to say whatever without any consequences because you don't have a person directly across from you that you have to interact with. So it's you're interacting with a screen. You're not interacting. You don't think about the person on the other side.
Yeah, I didn't really I never got into that stuff. So I guess that also might be why my like quote unquote online persona is just like the same as real life, just because the only social media I actually use consistently is Twitter, and it's mainly just positive things for me. Like when I'm posting stuff, like even if it's something that's negative, like, oh, I'm going to the hospital, like the reactions to all everything I post is generally like good luck kind of thing, or like it'll be talking about something going on in Hearthstone or something that interests me, right? Like I'm not getting into random arguments about X, Y, or Z or like whatever recent event happened. You know what I mean? Like I'm only involved in the very niche community of Hearthstone and like whatever surrounds that, like Pokemon, Blizzard, etc. Mm-hmm. But I'm not like really arguing with people. For most part, it's mainly positive interactions, aside from that one time I shitposted Blizzard.
Oh man,
but that's pretty positive to me. Like to me, that's like I'm venting.
Yeah. So I feel like we just had a pre-show conversation during our show, guys. I just realized how long have we been talking about this, not talking about Hearthstone, huh?
Yeah, but I mean, it's kind of related to Hearthstone in the sense that like this is part of the community, and
it is.
I feel that Hearthstone itself would not be around if it wasn't for the community that initially started it, and the community is ultimately going to guide it in its direction towards the end of what happens with it, where we go forward from here.
Right. I agree. I just wanted to move on because we do have one more topic we wanted to talk about, and I realized the time that we have right now. So was there anything else you guys want to say about this topic? Or
no, I just think it is more interesting that you give it credit for. Yeah, I don't think it's that bad of a topic. I think it's
I agree.
I do agree that it's an interesting topic. I just really wanted to shore things up a little bit. So Ray, we're talking about Vegas, we're talking about the community. However, you're not in Grandmasters, but you are going to go to Vegas for obvious reasons. And you're leaving 2 days, and we wanted to talk to you about your preparation that you've been doing, because I think people listening would be very interested to hear on how you decided to prepare for Vegas this week.
Yeah, so I have like a little Discord group. Actually, it's not even like people that are like people who I've tested with in the past. It's not like Jace hot me out with those people. It's actually one of my Pokemon friends and my friend Envoy or Brady. I think you know him.
Yeah, I know him. He's from Kansas City as well.
It's actually just literally those two people. And my friend, his name is Mikey. He's my teammate from my old Pokemon team. I taught him how to play, or I didn't teach him how to play. He got into Hearthstone, and then he won a qualifier. And then we've just been kind of getting in calls and bouncing ideas, practicing stuff like that. And him and Brady, and I kind of just shut out everybody else, like out. I guess I don't know.
Was Mikey the guy who put Boom Scheme in his deck?
No, that was Brady.
That was Brady.
That's pretty hilarious. No, I just haven't been talking to other groups, and mainly our testing. Or for me, I've been going through and just looking at like all the things that have been doing well in the qualifiers since the buffs, and then I've been looking at all the stuff that person in our Discord actually. What's his name? Echo Tepaska?
I know who you're talking about. I have no idea how to pronounce his name either.
I'll have to ask, but that person puts out really good specialist content pretty consistently, honestly. So those kind of updates are really helpful. And then I just practice a lot. And then it comes down to me, from what I'm gathering and what I'm noticing, aside from maybe the spike in Pogo Rogue today, it's going to be like a triangle. It's the meta really hasn't changed that much at its core. Bomb Warrior beats Rogue. Rogue beats all the random crap that beats Bomb Warrior, like all the mech garbage. And then Mage and mech garbage beats Warrior. And that's pretty much the rock, paper, scissors from my perspective. I just think that Bomb Warrior has a target on its back, even though it is clearly the front runner. It's like clearly very much so the most winning deck in these qualifiers. I think that also puts a target on its back, and a lot of people are going to try to be very prepared for it. So I think it tapers back the win percentage that it will have quite a bit. But at the end of the day, I've practiced these mage decks. I've practiced like hunt mid-range hunter, mech hunter. There's some we tried some shaman deck that he posted that someone won a qualifier with it. We tried that, and it still just comes down to that core for me. It's just like you just have to high roll your matchups. Like if I'm playing warrior, rogue is the other most popular class played in the qualifiers, and it's like if you just hit the rogues, you're gonna do well, and if you don't hit the rogues, you have to hope you high roll. Like I think bomb warrior has that ability to just go clockwork goblin into wrench caliber into Dr. Boom on 7, and no matter how bad the matchup is, you're probably still gonna win because that's strong. That start is just too strong. Like warrior can just have those games. Other decks obviously can too, like mage against bad matchups like rogue, they can just go, if they're playing Book of Spectres version as an example, they can go Book of Spectres into Mountain Giant into Conjurer's Calling if the rogue doesn't have an answer and just win anyways, because even if it's a bad matchup. But I think at the core it's just that rock paper scissors and then whatever you prefer. And then I'll be very surprised if there is a deck that is unknown that ends up doing very well. Like if somebody brings some type of wacky priest deck or something, I will be very surprised. I don't see that happening. The most innovative thing I see happening is people playing these new Pogo decks, because that'll beat Warrior. But I think if you do that, you really leave yourself vulnerable to losing to mech shenanigans. And then I think you also leave yourself really vulnerable to just getting beaten by Mountain Giant, the card, and stuff like that. Like you just leave yourself vulnerable to not being able to put on enough pressure to actually kill the mage before they snowball you. Hmm. But it's hard to say. Like I am very afraid to bring Bomb Warrior, but I'm also more afraid to bring something else, which it sounds really weird to say, and it probably sounds weird to hear, but I am like 100% in Bomb Warrior, so just because I can't see myself playing anything else.
I was going to say, so at that point, wouldn't you just bring the highest percentage deck at that point that you feel the most comfortable with at your skill level that you're going to have the best chance to succeed with?
Yeah, I think that's what it comes down to. Like I have the most experience on Bomb Warrior. I feel like I can play. I mean, the mirror's going to come down to like either whoever gets Dr. Boom first or after, if both players get Dr. Boom or both players don't get Dr. Boom, then it comes down to how well you know the mirror matchup, which I think that's where I can gain my edge. Sometimes it won't matter. Sometimes I'll get Dr. Boom, they won't, and they'll get Dr. Boom and I won't. But I think that the mirror is going to be a really popular matchup, and I feel confident enough in my ability to outmaneuver them in situations that'll probably come up like enough times for it to matter that I will gain my own edge in playing warrior. And if I play something like a Pogo Hopper rogue or something, like I actually did play it quite a bit, but it's still so hard to play. Like I think I talked about this last week where it's like my win rate with it was really good once I learned how to play it, but do I feel comfortable enough to bring it to the big stage? Honestly, no. I got really sick the last couple weeks. I just kind of died for a while. I didn't actually get to practice that much at all in that time, because I was actually just like in bed, just AFK from life. So it's not worth it. Maybe if I'd gotten more practice on something like the rogues, I'd feel more comfortable. But right now, it seems like the only realistic deck I can see myself bringing is Bomb Warrior. And I think that it will be good enough to get me there. At the end of the day, I just have to get lucky with my matchups and whatnot.
Hmm. Well, that's so. How did your testing go then? Like, did you, when you were testing against Brady, is Brady going to Vegas too, by the way?
Yeah. No, our whole group is qualified. Okay. We're all staying together as well. It's actually been kind of nice to have just like a small group of, it's just like us practicing. And then it seems like a lot of the other people kind of went their own separate ways. Like Edwin left Panic Global and then kind of, I don't know, did Edwin things with his life and hasn't really been playing Hearthstone. And Dr. J has like a, I don't know, he kind of AFK'd from our friend group, and it's just kind of, it was me and Mikey, and Cora isn't involved as well. She's just kind of busy a lot, but she's also talks when she can.
Cool. No, but what I was going to ask is, so did you find in your testing then also that you were just winning a higher percentage of games with Warrior as well?
No.
Oh yeah. that should make you feel a little nervous then.
Like, I'm still not winning the matchups that I'm supposed to lose, right? So it depends like how you want to look at it. Like I'm still winning against the rogue, sure. Okay. I'm still beating the matchups I should beat, but I'm still not like I'm learning how to play. Like I learned how to play certain matchups better, like Hunter and Mage. Like we learned that the Mage matchup comes down to whether or not you're on the coin or not. Like if they have the coin, it's a huge advantage to them because they get Mountain Giant a whole turn sooner. And if you have the coin and you coin out Augmented Elec and you get Clockwork Goblin or you have any type of bomb follow-up, you're super favored. And then if you don't, like, I've learned the nuances to the matchups, but it doesn't change the fact that, like, the matchups are still bad in certain situations no matter what. Like, if you're playing against Mage and they're on the coin and they have the Mountain Giant, you're probably going to get destroyed no matter what you do. It doesn't matter how well you play the deck, how good you are at the matchup. It just doesn't matter. Same with some of the mech decks, like they just rush you down. Like there's nothing you can do outside of like the cards that you have. I don't think that, I think that there have been some nuances that I've learned from like specific matchups. Like I've learned how to play specific matchups better, but at the end of the day, I'm still not winning significantly more of the time against people like Brady. And because I'm playing with other people who are also very good, right? I'm not playing on ladder. Like I don't count ladder.
All right.
So it's just like I'm losing the match I'm supposed to lose. I'm winning the matchups I'm supposed to win. I'm still learning. I learned how to play them better, but at the end of the day, they're still bad matchups.
I see.
And it's just, it is what it is. Like you have to be content with having like that 50% matchup, and then you have like the favored matchup, the unfavored matchup, and
yeah. That's
just how the cookie crumbles sometimes. I don't think that there will be a single person who finds a deck that covers all the bases. There's not that the decks are just too different. Like,
yeah,
you can't, it's so hard to find a deck that beats Warrior and Rogue at the same time. Yeah. And I, if there's somebody, they're probably gonna do very well if they find a deck that nobody's thought of. Like, maybe somebody comes up with what's the card that just got buffed in Priest, the two arms thing.
Extra arms. Yeah.
I actually did try so. Like, I tried a lot of bad ideas. Brady actually tweeted yesterday. Like, we practiced for like 3 or 4 hours of him just beating up on my bad ideas.
Yep.
In my mind, like, close to a tournament. I mean, I have these ideas that I'm like slowly refining over time, but I get this anxiety that like I'm missing something and there is like a secret key that I have to unlock to figure out the meta, because somebody in my head, it's like somebody else has this deck, the super amazing deck, and I'm just missing it. And then I just need to get beaten over and over again by the most common matchups to realize that like all these ideas are just not the case. Like, sure, maybe it'll beat Warrior consistently, but then you'll play against Rogue and you'll just never win a game, and then you'll realize, okay, yeah, this isn't gonna work out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's good to explore those, though, right? It's really nice to have those thoughts reassured so that when you get in the moment, right, when you're in the, so you're not double thinking yourself later on, right? It's good to play test those ideas beforehand, where it's like you won't have post the event, you won't have regret, oh, maybe I should have brought this. And you're like, no, I tested that and it didn't work out.
I mean, I've tested, like, I went down the rabbit hole, Danny. That's all I'm going to say. Like, I don't even want to tell you what ideas I've tested. Some of it's just embarrassing, like it's just out there. But I went down the rabbit hole and I came up with nothing. So,
well, no, you came up with 1,000 ideas on how to not make a light bulb, right? That's the saying with Edison. You just know, oh, I have a light bulb; it works.
Yep,
exactly. Awesome. So I don't have any, like, I won't have any negative thoughts about bringing Bomb Warrior. Like, I am set. This is the deck I'm going to bring. I have tried all my ideas. I've even tried all the other decks, and this is just what I'm most comfortable with and whatever happens. And I'm not going to have any of those. Like, a lot of people do get this where they're just like in their hotel room with their friends night before submission, and they're just like, they just have these bad ideas, and then like they just have no time to test it, but like they just get convinced it's good. That's how Blood Warriors happened for Edwin. Dude, that's how he lost top 8 of Worlds. Oh my God. That's how Blood Warriors happens. This if you don't test your bad ideas before you go to the tournament, that's how you end up playing a meme in top 8 of the world championships and losing $100,000 like an idiot.
I think you're singling out one person with that one.
Oh, 100%. He knows it, dude. He knows it. Dude, I go to, like, oh my god, dude, I literally leave the room for like 2 hours to go do something. I come back and he submitted Blood Warriors. Like, I was in the hotel room before that. We were set on like a pretty standard lineup. We were all set. I leave the room, I leave the room to go to like a party or something. Rage comes in 2 hours later. Boom, bam, bop. We're Blood Warriors. We're down $100,000. We're down $100,000. We have no money to gamble anymore. We're broke. We sold our house. Oh man.
And this is what happens when you get a little too cocky playing poker, guys. I think it's time to get out of here on that note.
Yep.
Oh man. We did have an email this week, actually from last week, but because we talked so much about stuff, which surprises me, because before the show I'm like, what the heck are we going to talk about, guys? And then
we had our show notes done weeks in advance. What are you talking about? we're the most prepared podcast ever.
I find the less we put on initially, the more we talk.
That's true. That's very true. That happens so often. But Craig, I know I pushed back your email to this week. I'm going to push it back one more week. Hopefully we'll get to it next week.
We will.
So, but if you would like to email us, instead of you can do so at wellmet@blizzpro.com. wellmet@blizzpro.com. And if you send us an email, we'll try to fit it in next week or one of the upcoming weeks. As we're running out of stuff to talk about, definitely do that for sure. Patreon, as I said at the beginning of the show, we had two new patrons this week. Thanks, Albert and Quetzalcoatl. I still probably am not pronouncing that right. That sounds like a magic card or a Pokemon or something. I don't know. Maybe it's your real name. I'm sorry if it is. Not sorry that that's your real name, but yeah. I'm sorry that I related it to a magic card or Pokemon. That's what I'm sorry about. But anyway, if you want to do that, head over to patreon.com/wellmetpodcast as a reminder. We're running that special offer this month where you get a Walmart sticker if you pledge $5 or more. Also, you get entered into a raffle. Every patron does, new, existing, any level. And you get put into a raffle where you can get a free hour coaching session from a co-host of your choice. So that's pretty cool. If you don't want to pledge, and you want to help out the show in other ways, word of mouth works wonders. Letting your friends know who play Hearthstone is one way, and another way is iTunes reviews. So if you head over to iTunes, just do a search for Hearthstone Podcasts, and you'll find us there, and you can leave a 5-star review, and we'll read it on next week's show. I think that's everything. So shout outs, and how can people get in contact with you, Ray?
Shout outs to the new patrons, especially Albert. We all know Albert. We love him. We also love Quasimodo Man. thank you guys for the support. It means a lot. And to everyone listening, hopefully you catch me on the Vegas stream this weekend. That'd be pretty cool.
I'll be watching.
Yep, me too.
And you can follow along on my adventures, Twitter, @PG_Racy. I'm sure I'll be tweeting a bunch. Maybe I'll take some videos of the venue and stuff to show people what it looks like. I'm excited. I don't know what to expect. I've never been to Vegas before. I don't plan on doing anything crazy, to be honest. I honestly, like, I was sick all week. I'm still kind of on the tail end of it. I'll probably just chill most of the time. I expect to just kind of be one of those weekends where I'm just low key. I'll probably stay in the hotel a lot and just be lame. But at the end of the day, I'm there to win this tournament, right? So
yeah,
that's what I'm gonna focus on. It's a goal.
It's a pretty good goal. So Danny, how about you?
As for me, this week I want to give my shout out to the Snip Snap Squad. Man, Snip Snap has really been on my mind. I just want to get rid of it, but it's going to be around for a while.
Yeah,
Anyway, you can get in contact with me on Twitter, DannyDonuts_HS. I will probably be posting my snip snap list and my counter snip snap list relatively soon. So,
all right. Be on the lookout for that. As for me, I would like to give a shout out this week to all of our wonderful people over in Discord on our Discord channel. If you want to join that, just I think it's discord.gg/WellMetPodcast or discord.me/WellMetPodcast. It's one of those. I don't fully remember off the top of my head. But we have some people that are pretty awesome to talk to, pretty awesome to see some of the content that they're posting, as Ray talked about earlier. So definitely a big shout out to all of our friends over on Discord. And if you want to find me, I will be on Twitter, of course, at Eldorian. So anyway, thanks for joining us for episode 202 of Well Met. You can find more awesome Hearthstone content throughout the week over at hearthstone.blizzpro.com. You can also tweet us at Well Met Podcast or email us at wellmet@blizzpro.com with comments, questions, and ideas that you have for the show. Thanks to Jake Butnew for our amazing intro music. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you guys next week.